Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Beautiful Legacy Podcast. I am your host, Abigail Gagnon, and as you can see, this is part two of What Are Dreams with Pam Mueller. I really enjoyed this conversation, as I'm sure you guys can tell by my enthusiasm. while chatting with Pam. But if you have not listened to part one, I would highly recommend going back and listening to that to understand some more context and to hear more of what she had to say and all of that. But if you've already listened to part one, or if for whatever reason you want to listen to part two first and then go back and listen to part one after, I hope that you enjoy this episode and let's get into it. Sort of. When it comes to like sleeping, are there certain things that people do before they go to bed with like their wind down time that you feel like allows people to have better dreams or more dreams? Or like how much does our sleep pattern and what we're doing like before we sleep play into dreaming?
All right. I'll tell you what I want to say and then I'll tell you what's true.
Okay.
what I want to say is that your sleep health is going to bring about more dream recall and a more vivid dream life, and it's that they go hand in hand. The truth, however, is that when you go to sleep, you go through like four different phases of sleep. And the REM phase of sleep is the one where you have the most story-like dream experiences. They've actually found in researching over the years that you actually have different, you're dreaming like 70% of the night, something like that. But the most memorable story-like dreams come from the REM stage. Okay, so the truth about sleeping is if you wake up directly out of that REM stage, you're going to have more dream recall, which means if you wake up at 2 a.m. because you have to get up and go pee, you might remember more dreams, but that's not healthy for sleeping. So the other piece of that is true is that if you are sleep deprived, you might not get into REM sleep enough over the course of the night or long enough to have a lasting dream that you remember. So they're directly connected to each other, but one doesn't necessarily lead to an increase of the other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I know for me, I tend to, like I said, remember a lot of my dreams, even if I wake up a lot, but my husband doesn't really wake up very much. He kind of is like a dead sleep a lot of the time. Like he's very, very hard to wake up, even with his alarms. So it's always interesting to me if he's getting in such a deep sleep, why he would not have as many dreams, where I'm more of a light sleeper and I remember like basically everything.
So just in that scenario, you just might be able to access them because your waking mind comes on board. Like they're a lot more closely connected to each other because you are a lighter sleeper.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I know that we talked a little bit about like Google interpretation and different things like that. But I know that there's probably a lot of people that have like a lot of common dreams, like being chased or flying. What are some of those common dream meanings? Because I know a lot of people probably have Googled those before. Would you say what you've found that those interpretations, like they're accurate when it comes to like the flying, falling, being chased, those kind of things?
I mean, they're as accurate as they can be. What you want to do when you're looking those things up is you want to kind of listen for your own inner aha. So when you look up being chased, you're going to find a whole slew of suggestions, and I'll give you some in a minute. But as you're listening or as you're reading through what being chased means in a dream, there's going to be one or two that strike you and go and make you go like, oh, wait a minute. I did have that happen yesterday. Or, you know, there'll be an inner like, an inner felt sense of like, oh, hold on. That's weird. It's weird that that says that right there, because that's your inner resonance that lets you know that that's an accurate interpretation for that particular dream that you're holding in your mind. Okay. All right. So let's go to being chased in a dream and what that can mean. The first thing that I get when I'm thinking about being chased is like pressured. I'm being followed is not the right word, Pam. Something is catching up with me in waking life, or the pressure is building in waking life. Those would be the first two things. But there's another one that doesn't usually get mentioned with being chased, and that is when you are doing your own inner reflective work and you are getting ready to have a big aha, like something is getting ready to burst into your consciousness because you've been working on it under the surface. Sometimes that can produce being chased dreams because your consciousness is getting ready to open and expand. And there's something in the unconscious that is getting closer and closer to surfacing.
That makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm. So it can show up as a scary dream or a stressful dream because your ego is going like, hold on, I know everything that I know and I don't want any new insights, you know? So that tension, that inner tension can create a being chased dream.
That makes a lot of sense. And with that, I don't know how common this is, but I dream sometimes in black and white. It hasn't happened a lot, but it definitely has happened enough times that I would say it's fairly common, I guess, for me. Is that something that's fairly common? I don't think I've ever Googled it now that I think about it.
You know, I asked about it on TikTok. Every once in a while, I'm like, here's my question. And I'm like crowdsourcing, like, what's the general feel for this? And I had asked about it. In fact, after we get off this, I'll go back and find it and tag you so you can see the people, like everybody's responses about it or whatever. And it was an interesting variety. Some people are like, I never dream in color ever. Other people were like, I've never dreamt in black and white ever. So it's very based on, you know, your dream personalities. It's just as individual as we are. But Bob Haas, who is a prolific dream researcher and author and teacher in the field, has written a book, which I'm looking around my bookshelves. I can't remember the name of right now. But in it, he writes a whole lot about color theory in dreaming. Mm-hmm. So after this, I'll be sure to share it with you and we can, you know, I don't know, put it in the notes or whatever you can do to get that out to everybody so they can find it. But anyway, it's a good resource for when you're dreaming in color. For me, what comes up right away, if I just think about it right now, if I'm used to dreaming in color and suddenly I dream in black and white, it might suggest that this is a new idea, meaning it hasn't, like, it's not in full color yet. Mm-hmm. It's a new emerging idea. Or it might mean it's from long, long ago, when things were in my mind in black and white.
Interesting. Yeah. I can't remember specifically like entire dreams with black and white. Mm-hmm. So next time it happens, I'll definitely have to think about that.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I have written down here, if you want to go back to it, is a couple of other common dream symbols.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So one of the most common symbols in dreams, not types of dreams, but a symbol in dream is water. And I think it shows up in like 60 or 70% of reported dreams, something like that. So the symbolism of water can represent the state of your emotions. And so when water shows up in a dream, you can think about, there's a whole bunch of different ideas popping in my head right now that I'd love to spew out, but I think I'm going to get tripped up by them. For example, sometimes people dream of tsunamis or floods. And in that case, the water would symbolize emotional spikes that are collective as opposed to individual. Mm-hmm. Negative emotional spikes that are collective as opposed to individual. Water in dreams in the form of rain might represent tears. So there's a whole bunch of symbolism that can go with it. But just to know that water is representative of emotional state can help.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Teeth falling out is a weirdly common dream.
That happens a lot to me. I'll have dreams where that I'm either eating something or I'm flossing my teeth in my dreams, and then all of a sudden my teeth just all fall out.
Okay. So there are two things to consider with teeth falling out. The first is symbolically, it might be connected to financial concerns in waking life. And the second is that we actually, all of us in our history have a physical felt sense of our teeth falling out because we remember it from childhood, because we've all been through that experience of our teeth falling out. And so if it's not financial, then it might be connected to how do I say this? Who I was when I was that age when my teeth were falling out. So it might be triggering that inner child in me in some way. Something in waking life might have triggered my inner child.
That's really interesting because I feel like I do on a regular basis work on healing different pieces of my inner child
Okay.
and kind of going back there to try to find the root of why I do certain things or feel certain things as an adult. So next time I have one of those dreams, I'll have to think about whether or not, like the day before or around that time, I was really deep diving into stuff like that because that would make a lot of sense.
I want to mention this for your listeners, but for you as well. I just have uploaded onto my profile on my website. You can get there through the Instagram profile link. There is a weekly tracking sheet that's a it's got a small nominal like $3.99 fee to it to get it, but it's downloadable and you can print as many off as you want. But it's a two-page weekly sheet that gives you the left sheet will be an opportunity for you to write down everything that's happening that week during the day, like a day planner. And the right side sheet will be your dreams, so that you can actually start to see how the two things are informing each other.
That's really interesting. I might have to look into that. I don't have like exactly that, but I do journal basically every day, and I started writing when I have like a lot of dreams that I remember. I normally will write like bullet points of what those dreams were. Or sometimes if it was just like a crazy dream, I'll write like a little paragraph about it, and then I'll write about what I'm doing that day or different things like that. So I'll have to start trying to see how they connect. Because I don't think I've done that. Normally I've just flipped back through and then looked at the different dreams because I find it interesting sometimes what I've forgotten, even though in the moment it seemed like such a big thing.
It's so true. I mean, anytime I'm journaling my dreams, I always want to connect it. I'm like, how do I hold this for tomorrow? How do I look back to what I was doing earlier in the week or whatever? So that was the impetus for creating that tracker sheet. It's really helpful when you, because honestly, there's so much more going on than we're catching because we're not reflecting on them the right way, right? It's the same with big dreams where people are afraid that they've missed, they're like, I had a dream and then I don't remember what it was, but I know it was important and I want to go back to it. The thing that I tell people is those symbols are showing up in regular conversation with each other in dreams across time. Like your dreams aren't just one and done every night, they're a continuation. So it would help to, I think it would help to track them across the week and across your like daily activity as well.
Absolutely.
So I got two more common symbols that I have written down, and they're actually connected to each other, flying and falling.
I definitely have more so flying than falling.
Yeah. Are you, this is just me, but are you generally optimistic?
I would say yes, but it's weird because I'm also afraid of heights. And so it's always interesting to me how in my dreams when I'm flying, I'm not afraid at all. And
Oh,
I
cool.
actually enjoy the flying. Normally, if I'm falling in dreams, it's right before I wake up. Like I'll be falling and then I'll jolt awake.
That is very cool. That's a really cool distinction to note that you're not afraid in the state when you're flying in the dream. That to me says you are completely supported. And so there's no fear in the dream.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So With flying dreams, if it is a positive dream, meaning the emotional, experience is a positive one, then a lot of times you can think of the ways that you're being supported, invisibly supported, or supported in ways that are hidden in your waking life. And then also the metaphor of soaring in waking life, right? This sort of free experience of success and greatness and gratitude and any emotional sense that brings up that like elevated, like you take a deep breath in and you're elevating your spirit or your soul. Those are going to generally show up as flying dreams. And then falling dreams are when you are being humbled or grounded or deflating. Your ego is being deflated. Those can show up as falling dreams.
Interesting. I'm gonna have to think about that the next time. Sometimes when I am flying in my dreams, it's because I'm running away from something. But like I said, I'm never afraid when I'm flying. Like I actually enjoy being high up in whatever, which is very strange because, like I said, in real life, I'm very afraid of heights and would not enjoy that at all.
Can you say more about what you just said about sometimes when I'm flying, it's because I'm running away from something?
So sometimes, like, I have dreams, which they're normally not reoccurring, like I'm in the same spot, but there will be times where I'll be either being chased or somebody will be making up lies about me or whatever. And then I get really upset and no one's listening to me. And I feel like either I'm talking and no one can hear me, or I'm talking but no one's listening. And then the next thing I know, I'm running really fast and then I start flying. And then fly away.
Sounds amazing. Yeah, lift off, right? I just thought like we have lift off. This is what comes to mind now. This is the way dream work works for me. I step into what you're describing as if it is my own experience, and I'm just going to tell you what I would connect to those things. And then I'm not poking around in your life, so you're free to just hold that and reflect on it later, or take it or leave it or whatever. For me, what comes up about a scene like that is that I've moved on from that scenario, like almost like in waking life, I got triggered by something that is a past issue. And in my dream, I'm able to like realize that I have moved on. And so the running that leads to flying, and flying away is a reflection of how, yeah, I'm not even there anymore, so I don't even have to address it.
I feel like, I don't know for sure, but one that I'm thinking of recently, I feel like was around the time where somebody was spreading lies about me. And I remember saying and thinking, I said to a friend, and I was thinking also that in the past, I would have taken that really personally and felt attacked. And yes, of course, it hurt because I thought this person was my friend. But then, like within an hour or so, like it didn't even bother me anymore. Like, I was like, you know what? I know who I am. And I would remember thinking that I was super proud of myself for not letting it affect me for more than just a little bit of time. And I think one of those dreams was around that time, now that I think about it. So that
Yeah,
would make complete sense.
that's so wonderful. That's so beautiful to be able to connect it so directly like that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm gonna have to think about that the next time I have one of those dreams.
Yeah, this whole dream interpretation stuff builds on itself. Because now when you have that dream, you're going to have a totally different perspective, a different way to reflect on it. Yeah. And then
That's really cool.
the next piece for me is, how can I then take that information and use it intentionally and consciously, even today, regardless of whether or not you dream that dream again? Flying might be, like you said, you use metaphors all the time. So flying might be an easy entry point into getting yourself untriggered the next time you encounter that. You're like, oh yeah, we're gonna lift off from that. We're gonna move on from that. So even now, the dream can be helpful, even if it doesn't resurface again.
That's really cool. I just love this conversation. I have like I've always been fascinated by dreams and my own dreams. So this is like, I'm having so much fun. This is awesome. I
So
learned
glad.
so much about my own dreams that I didn't even realize was going to be a thing. So that's kind of cool.
Yay, good.
And with like common dream meanings and reoccurring dreams and stuff like that, how often would you say having nightmares is normal? Because I know everyone obviously has nightmares, but I feel like some people may think like, oh, I'm having too many nightmares. This isn't normal. But like, how often would you say I won't say should be having
That's
nightmares because that
normal.
sounds weird, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you're right on, right? Nor nightmares are a normal occurrence for all of us. There is something called nightmare frequency disorder, which generally is if you have two to three or more intense nightmares a week that affect your daily life, then you need to look in. I wouldn't use those dreams at all to do any interpretive work, because that's more of a symptom of something rather than the helpful content of your psyche. So nightmare frequency disorder is one thing to consider. The other thing to consider is if you have PTSD, nightmares can be a triggering experience and a symptom of PTSD. And so that would be the other scenario where working with dreams in this manner that I do is not appropriate. You really need to get help from your, primary care or a mental health professional or somebody who has some more experience in working on dreams from the brain chemistry side of things. Having
Absolutely,
said
that makes a lot
that,
of
having said that, when you, that doesn't mean that every intense nightmare is something you shouldn't work. Jeremy Taylor, who's another person in the field of dream work, has said over and over again that dreams come in the service of health and wholeness. So even the nightmares are helping me process some unfelt emotion or unfinished emotion. And if it feels safe enough in waking life to go back in and do some exploratory work, then you're free to do that because dreams are coming to help you, not harm you. So those two scenarios, the nightmare frequency disorder and the PTSD aside, nightmares are a safe place. And if we have enough time, I can give you one example.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm using this, or I'm sharing this example with permission from my mother. We lost my father about 8 years ago. He died quite suddenly, and it was a really tragic event in my family, especially for my mom. And I was doing dream work at that time. And so, shortly after he passed, my mom came to me and she said, "Pam, I had a nightmare about your father, but I don't want to tell you about it." And I said, "Mom, that's absolutely okay. I totally understand. And I'm so sorry that you had that experience." And that's all she could do was just tell me that she had a nightmare. But going any further than that felt unsafe to her, which was. I respected completely. Then, about 2 weeks later, out of nowhere, we were sitting at dinner and she said, "Okay, I want to tell you the dream, Pam, but I don't want you to tell me what you think about it." And I said, "Yes, ma'am. Got it." And that was helpful for her. She could go a little closer to revisiting that dream, but that was her boundary. So, all of this is to say that when you're working with dreams and nightmares specifically, you can reflect on them. You can dive in as deep as you want, but just know and feel around for where that boundary is. Don't force yourself to talk about it any more than you're ready to. Another couple of weeks passed, and then out of nowhere again, we're at a gathering, and she pulls me aside and she said, "Okay, I'd like to hear what you think about the nightmare." And then we were able to sit down, and she told it to me again, and we kind of gently unpacked it. And the thing about nightmares is they're also metaphorical. And when you can figure out what they represent, suddenly it disempowers the nightmare. Because suddenly the nightmare, it's like seeing the monster after in a horror movie. As soon as you see the monster, you understand everything you're not dealing with, and you know exactly what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, they can be super beneficial to work and to discover their meaning when you're, when it feels safe enough to do so.
That makes complete sense. I would say, my husband would say I have a lot of nightmares. I feel like I don't have a lot of nightmares. I feel like I have a lot of intense dreams, but I've noticed when I have like what I would consider nightmares, it's often around super stressful times. I do definitely have CPSD. And so there are certain times where things, when I, you know, in my waking life that I know have kind of triggered that and I've felt more anxious and stressed, I notice I have a lot more nightmares, and the nightmares normally are about my husband dying or my siblings dying or my siblings wanting nothing to do with me and different like things like that. And so normally, you know, if he's sleeping in the bed next to me when I wake up and I know he's there and alive, that helps.
Yeah.
And then normally I end up texting my siblings the next day and being like, hi, how's it going?
Just checking in.
Just to make sure you're alive and you're also, you know, not mad at me. So that definitely helps. But yeah, I definitely feel like sometimes I don't want to get into the details, but it does help to be able to correlate the fact that it's not real.
It's not real, right? It is metaphorical, and it is expressing something that's been in, you know, triggered for you. And so even if when I wake up there, that something is too horrific for me to even explore, I've learned that I can at least say, okay, dreaming mind, I got it. Please don't do that again. Like, I understand that there's something bothering me, and I appreciate you offering to help. Just as a way to kind of keep that dream channel open. Because the other thing is, you know, people come to me sometimes because they've had one of those terrifying nightmares. And as soon as they share the dream, the first thing I want to do is dispel the fear that it's somehow predictive or that they somehow are responsible to do something about it, right? You're not beholden to those dreams. So if I can help people understand that dreams are expressing something that got triggered and it's a metaphorical representation of your feelings, then that automatically helps people loosen their like fear around it. Even if we don't go further and figure out what it is, even if, you know, we don't look up what water means in a dream or whatever, just to kind of give that reassurance that the way your dreaming mind works is it gives you a metaphorical representation and everything in the dream is intentionally symbolic of something else.
Now, that makes a lot of sense.
That being said, as soon as I say that, people come and go like, well, I dreamt this and then it happened, right? That's a different, we approach those in a different way. So when I work with people on a regular basis or one-on-one, or when people engage with my content, it's something we continue to address is what happens if it also comes true and what does it mean for me if it doesn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the precognition piece is also very legitimate. It's just very, very rare. And it's the first thing we attach to when we wake up. And it should be the last thing.
That completely makes sense. I feel like people sometimes do that in their waking life too. Like they'll have a thought or they'll be mad at somebody. And then that person gets in a car accident and they think it's because they thought something that wasn't nice about that person.
Yes.
And I think that it's important to realize that, well, yes, our thoughts and our words do have power and they do matter. They also can't most of the time predict and change what's actually going to happen. Like that's giving our words and our mind like too much power. We need to take that weight of pressure off of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's got to be a balanced approach, right? But there can't be a balanced approach if all you've ever learned is look it up in a dictionary or don't do anything. So
Yes.
this whole my life's purpose is to just let people know there's a different thing that we haven't been taught about our dreams, and it can help you normalize that process for yourself so that it doesn't mean everything and it doesn't mean nothing.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And I think you might have seen it, but I did put in my stories a little question box for people to leave some questions for you. Was there anything else that you wanted to comment on or address or anything before we do dive into those and wrap up the episode?
No, I say let's dive into those.
All right, awesome. So I know that we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but just to make sure that, she feels heard and like I asked the question, Victoria did ask, do dreams always mean something?
Yes, is the short answer to that. Dreams always mean something. Even if it is a snippet of a dream and all you remember is a gray chair. There's some association work that you can do with gray and chair that will create some significant meaning for you in your waking life.
Awesome. And then Sophia asked, are people we see in dreams people we know in real life, or can they be people we will meet later? And then she went on to say that she had a dream playing with herself, playing with a kid on a beach that looked like her oldest, and she had this dream years prior to him being born.
Gosh, I love that question. There's not a definitive answer, except that can we just sit in some awe and wonder of that? That is amazing. This is why I say dreams are from you, to you, and for you, is that you get to be the ultimate determinant of the meaning of that dream, of that encounter. So the mysticism and the awe that dreams bring about, I personally totally buy into. I think all of that, I think we have this interconnectivity. I think there are things beyond us that we can't know, but that we somehow are able to glimpse through our dream space. That's my personal thinking. And then the other common thing that was asked about was, are people known in our dream, the people that we know? So it might be useful for your listeners to know that sometimes the people that you know that show up in a dream are stand-ins for the character traits you associate with your relationship with that person. So, for example, if I dream of my boss and it is my boss in waking life that shows up in my dream life, it is not necessarily telling me something about my boss's life. It's telling me something about my life. And my boss is a stand-in for authority.
That
So,
makes a lot of sense.
yeah. So the known people, again, it's that logical waking mind that we wake up and we go, oh, there's a literal interpretation. My boss was in my dream. But the metaphorical interpretation is some I have some encounter with authority that is important to me that my dream is trying to show me.
That makes a lot of sense. I feel like there's a lot of times where people will show up in my dreams that I don't even talk to really, or that I haven't talked to in a very long time or seen in a while, or people that are currently in my life are doing things completely opposite of what they would do. And my husband will often be like, well, I'm not responsible for what Dream Brian does. And I'm like, okay, I know, but I'm just telling you, in my dream, you did this and it was not nice.
That's right. Your husband is right. And I love that he is able to set that boundary for you and be like, hey, that's your stuff coming up for you. That said, it can also be both and. We can't rule out that I have a dream about my boss, and 3 weeks later, my boss makes a big announcement that somehow has some element that was true in my dream. But, that crossover, I just don't want that to distract from the fact that dreams have meaningful, significant guidance for you, the dreamer, every single time.
Absolutely. And then Lauren asked, or well, kind of stated and asked, that she realizes that she's dreaming a lot in her dreams. And then she realizes that the people in her dream notices that she knows that she's in a dream, and it freaks her out. And then she tries to wake herself up and can't. So she wanted to know how to prevent that or why that's happening, as well as tips on waking up from her dream. Like, how does, while she's in the dream, wake herself up?
Beautiful. That's a great question. So I'm going to start with the latter, and how to wake yourself up so I don't forget that piece. When you want to wake up from a dream and you're kind of trapped inside of a dream, you can try two different things. The first is change your breathing pattern, because you can change your breathing pattern in a dream, and it might physically require you to move in a different way in waking life, and that can pull you out of the sleep state. And the other is to like wiggle your pinkies or your toes or your fingers, do some small movement. And the reason that works is because in the dream state, we are in large muscle paralysis while we sleep. And so doing something big and dramatic will actually maybe exacerbate the problem, because you aren't moving your physical muscles in real life, but you're panicking in the dream state, and those two things can kind of create tension. But if you gently wiggle your toes and fingers, then it might cause you to physically wiggle your toes and fingers in bed and pull you awake.
Interesting.
So that is the first thing. But to Lauren's question, basically what she's describing is that she is becoming lucid. It's becoming a lucid dream, which means you're aware that you're dreaming inside of the dream. There is a whole field, there's a whole community out there of people who practice lucid dreaming. And so a simple search will kind of give anybody who's interested a whole slew of information and insight and guidance about lucid dreaming. But what she's describing is when you become lucid in the dream, how do I say this, Pam? You suddenly might introduce an emotion of fear or surprise. And that emotion, then your dreaming mind will translate into all the other characters who are operating outside of you, the dreamer, becoming surprised or afraid. And then that might kind of get you into a loop of fear. So then the dream becomes fearful, then the dreamer becomes afraid, and then everybody, and then that fear just continues to escalate and feed on itself until you can pull yourself awake. So that's kind of the scenario that Lauren is describing, is becoming lucid and then fear being introduced because you realize you're trapped in it or you're in a dream, and your unconscious characters that aren't you in the dream are going to respond to the unconscious feeling of fear, if that makes sense.
No, that makes complete sense. It was interesting when she was telling me that, because when she told me, we were talking on Marco Polo. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like a video chat app. And I was telling her that for me, I have the opposite. When I realize that I'm dreaming, I like that, because then I think to myself, oh, I can control this now. Like, if I want to be, rich and famous, or I want to have a big giant house, I can just, make that happen. Especially if it's like a scary dream and then I realize I'm dreaming. I normally some, well, not always, but I sometimes can get myself out of that, because I realize that I'm dreaming.
That's a great example and a validating kind of what I was saying about when you have fear, then fear gets introduced and then it perpetuates. When it feels like freedom, then freedom gets introduced.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
Cool.
one thing that I don't think that I mentioned with, not exactly with that, but there are times where when I dream, I am looking at myself. Like, I'll realize I'm dreaming, and then all of a sudden it's like a third party. Like, I'm looking down at myself in my dream. Is that a common thing that people experience?
Maybe not common, but it's not unheard of. So is that when you're lucid or just in the dream? Just it happens sometimes.
It happens sometimes, but it most often is if I realize I'm dreaming, then sometimes I feel like I'm watching myself, which is interesting to me because in like my waking life, when I have memories that are like that, they're normally traumatic. So to me, it's weird when it happens when I realize I'm dreaming, because like I said, normally I'm like, oh, this is great. Now I can make whatever I want happen. Whereas in the waking life, when I have memories that I'm looking at myself, it's like when I've disassociated and I'm looking at something traumatic happening.
So it makes sense to me that that happens when you become aware that you're dreaming, because then it's like your consciousness is almost entering as a different you. So you've got your dreaming you, and then you've got your sort of awareness, or your conscious awareness that's kind of entering into the scene. And so they can, those two could separate in a lucid dream in that way. So you can kind of recognize that you're in two states at the same time.
That does make sense.
I would say if it happens when you are not lucid, if it's just an experience or part of the dream, then it is a little bit more of you, it's a little bit more symbolic of disassociation at that point from whatever that life issue is that's being just explored in the dream.
Interesting. I'll have to think about that the next time it happens.
Yeah.
So again, thank you so much for giving me and the listeners some of your time today. I really enjoyed chatting with you. And like I said, I could talk about this all day because I could literally like go on a tangent of like all these different dreams I had and have had recently and all of that stuff. But for sake of time, unless there's something else that you feel that you want to add or comment on, I will ask my final questions and we can wrap up the episode.
I think that sounds fine. I'm with you, Abigail. We could really, dish for hours about this, but yeah, I feel like this has been really wonderful. It's a great opportunity for me to connect with you and your husband secretly, and your dreamer, and your listeners, and everybody out there. So, this has been amazing. What's your final stuff? What do we got?
So, I like to ask people, my guests, where can people find you? And in this case, where can people get like your website to work with you?
Yeah, so Sweet Georgia Pam, all spelled out, sweetgeorgiapam.com. My handles on social media are at Sweet Georgia Pam. That is the, I'm out there all the time doing content on social media and, coming through my website. So you can use any of those channels to reach out to me. I would ask that you mention this podcast so that I can know the conversations that you've heard, and welcome anybody's follow-up questions. I can't resist a good dream question, so I'm as responsive as I have time to be, and I can't wait to connect with everybody.
Awesome. And to the listeners, if you are listening to this within 24 hours of the episode coming out, on the beautiful underscore legacy Instagram, I do put in my stories, the little video and then the post about the episode coming out. And I will put a separate slide in my stories with a link to her website and tag her. But if it's after that 24 hours of this episode coming out, that will be in guest links highlight. So if for whatever reason you're searching her, she's not coming up, I always put in my guest links highlight different things of like websites or whatever so that you guys can easily find the guests that you enjoy listening to. And also, with the podcast being called Beautiful Legacy, I ask all of my guests, what kind of legacy do you want to leave and why?
What a beautiful question. It makes me tear up a little bit because legacy is super important. It is my wish that long after I'm gone, people, when they have a powerful dream, wake up and not even think of me, but feel the compassionate enthusiasm that I have for everybody at the soul level, and I want them all to have access to their dreams as like a helpful guide. So the legacy I would like to leave is that compassionate enthusiasm for your dreams and the meaning that your dreams are trying to convey all the time.
I absolutely love that. That is beautiful. And I know that we've kind of touched on a lot of different ways that you are making this happen, but is there anything that we haven't touched on? Is there like a way that you are making that legacy a reality?
What a great question. I think that that question is going to fuel the rest of my day, honestly, Abigail. I'm like, what else do I feel is unfinished or in progress? I have my admin assistant. I actually call her my containment officer because her job is to help me keep all of these ideas, keep a lid on them enough so that they come to fruition. So I don't have a direct answer for you, but I just hope that even by the end of this year, there's new stuff that I haven't thought of yet that's out there in the world because of me.
I absolutely love that. That is awesome. And I can relate so much. I do not have a manager to help contain myself. I guess my husband is that for me.
He's the default manager.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But again, thank you so, so much for coming on today. And I will definitely be keeping in touch with you. And I hope that the listeners go ahead and follow you. And I'm so glad that I saw you on TikTok when I did, so that we could make this happen. And to the listeners, as always, you are loved, you are worth it, you are priceless, and I will talk to you all later. Hello, friends. So the trailer you are about to listen to is from a podcast that is sort of similar to this one in the sense that one of the biggest goals is to share people's stories and different perspectives. So it's called Multispective. And I have only listened to a couple episodes so far, but I'm really enjoying it. I think there's 30 to 40 episodes. So there's plenty for you to catch up on. The newest episode, and I'm not sure how far back, is just with one host. But at the beginning, there was two hosts. I'm not sure exactly when that switch happened. It's like I said, I haven't listened to all the episodes. But I greatly enjoyed listening to the ones that I have. I think that the interviewer and interviewers do a great job at asking really great questions. And the people that they have on have really interesting stories to share and are great conversationalists. I hope that you enjoy this trailer and maybe go take a look. I believe that it is on all podcast platforms. I know it's at least on Spotify and Apple and YouTube. So I hope that you enjoy it and I will talk to you all later.
Multispective is a podcast where we interview individuals around the world with unique stories and experiences. Guests share in detail some of the traumas they faced.
You know, because I feel in some ways so disgusting and broken on the inside, you know, I'm going to work on my outside, and that's going to make me feel better.
Mental health issues they've lived with.
I was very hyper, like I felt good. That's one thing of mania, like you feel good.
Decisions they've made.
My life changed drastically in that moment. That one moment, I can't even begin to describe to people how hard, how good, how scary, how disturbing and emotional that moment was, smoking crack.
And more importantly, how they found strength, resilience, and healing.
Just being able to think and have conversations and walk places, that really helped me accelerate the process of, you know, rebuilding burnt bridges.
Tune in, subscribe, rate and review Multispective on www.multispective.org or your preferred podcasting app. You can also find us on any of the social media platforms that you use. Your feedback is always welcome. Lots of love, Multispective.